Hello, young lovers, whoever you are, I hope your troubles are few. All my good wishes go with you tonight. I've been in love like you. You be brave, young lovers, and follow your star. Brave and faithful and true. And cling very close to each other tonight. I've been in love like you. And I know how it feels to have wings on your heels and to fly down the street in a trance. You fly down that street on the chance that you'll meet and...
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to thought-provoking talk on Dresser After Dark.
Whatever you do, say don't cry because I'm alone. All my good wishes go with you tonight.
Jane McCormick with us. She's the co-author of Breaking My Silence, Confessions of a Rat Pack Party Girl and Sex Trade Survivor. She's a former high-priced call girl. Jane McCormick has been heard on local radio. She's presented her story to various healthcare groups and is regularly asked to speak to the FBI about the sex trade. Breaking My Silence, Confessions of a Rat Pack Party Girl and Sex Trade Survivor is her first book. Jane, hi, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Nice to be speaking with you tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Jane, when we really look at this, you know, there was so much in our past and our history that all of the things that you talk about and all of the experience that you had, they were hidden. They were shoved under the rug. Nobody talked about them. And today, as open as it is, it still goes on, and there's a lot of kids today that are falling victim to sex trade and many things that we're not even aware of.
Oh, definitely. It's a matter of fact, the new report out from my FBI friend in Quantico, Virginia, told me that most money that, in other words, in the racketeering and stuff, the most money that they're making, they're making more money in the sex trade business, trafficking, than sure. They do in drugs now.
You know, and it's amazing because we think, okay, the sex trade, that's in Europe, that's in Asia. No, it's not. It's right here.
No, it's right here in your next door.
Yes.
It's right here in America. And not only that, but you can sell a bag of marijuana to somebody once, but you can sell a human being, white slavery type today, many, many millions of times, hundreds of times, thousands of times.
Now, by the way, let's go back to your own particular past, when this started for you, the horror and the trauma that you went through, and thank goodness you survived it all. But what was childhood like? What was it like to grow up in the era that you grew up in and have those things happen to you?
Well, I was just about 3 years old. My real father passed away of cancer, and my mom ended up marrying a Master Sergeant in the Marine Corps, I was taken with her, and my brother was left at my grandmother's because he was in school, and so they took me. And my stepdad was molesting me from the time I was 3 till I was 9. And we were living in Hawaii, and I ran away from home with a Hawaiian friend of mine next door to me. We didn't live on the base. We lived out in Omakaha and went to school in Waianae in Hawaii. So, you know, of course I traveled. I don't meet strangers, so I guess that's kind of my personality also because of my childhood. But being locked up and tied up as a little girl, and the trauma that life had for me was probably made me kind of not have as good a self-esteem as I should have as I was growing up. You know, even though I had the Lord and I went to church and I always have believed in God and all that. I went to Bible school and all that. But still, there was that stigma that when you're molested by a huge man as a little girl, you think that everybody's doing that. You think, oh, that's how daddies love their daughters. You don't know no different. You're just a little bitty kid, little baby girl.
Sure.
You don't know. But you know deep inside your soul, that in something inside you, knows that it's really, really horrible. It's horrifying what's going on, and you don't know why you feel the way you feel, but it's a horrible feeling. And I just hope to God that anytime any child says to you, hey, they're touching me in a wrong place, that you will pay attention, because children don't make up those lies. It's not a lie. It's the gospel truth. If a child ever says that to you or to anybody, believe them and I don't care if it's who it is that they're saying it about. It is happening.
Okay, and, now and with you in particular, that with the mindset, was it, and this is just a question, but it was that mindset, if this is what's happening to me, no matter what I do, no matter where I go, I keep end up doing the same thing, which led you into your life as an adult as a call girl. And when it really comes down to it was that what caused that particular kind of lifestyle?
Well, what happens is that the circumstances for myself was that I ended up marrying early, having children at 16. I ended up, you know, doing all these, you know, in out of steps. You know, you shouldn't get married at 16 years old and have children. I mean, that's crazy. I look at my grandkids today and I think, oh, my God, I was married and had two children at that age. Oh, my, that's just unbelievable. So what happens is that my husband cheated on me, went out and I caught him, and I told him he couldn't stay there anymore because I couldn't look at him. And then he did. He left the whole state. So here I was working as a nurse's aide because I was going to be a nurse. My girlfriend and I were going to be nurses, and that was always my goal, is to be an RN. Anyway, I was walking back and forth to work from Anaheim, California to Fullerton. I was working at Fullerton Community Hospital. My husband left. I lost the babysitter because I couldn't afford to pay her. I was only making $1.17 an hour, 1959. Anyway, so what happened then was that I went to this church, and sitting there in the church, and the church was locked. So I ended up giving the children to take my mother-in-law to take care of them because I didn't know what to do. I was out in the street with no money, and they locked the apartment door on me because I couldn't pay the rent. Anyway, I ended up with this guy in a cocktail lounge, tried to get a job as a cocktail waitress in Hollywood. He ended up trafficking me into Las Vegas and telling me this is how I could get money to get my children back and get an apartment, get my children. And the first man that came, I was crying so hard I didn't want to do that horrible, horrible thing. And he gave me $10 and walked out the door, patted me on the head. Wow. But as years went by, I decided that if this is what I had to do, if this was what I was going to be doing, I was going to do it in the highest class style that they can be done in.
That makes sense.
It's not good. It's not
no,
a
but,
good
but
thing.
By the way, if you decided if this is what my life is going to be, I'm going to get the absolute most out of it. I just wanted to throw something in. When you were making $1.16 in 1959, I don't want to do a one-upmanship on you, but in 1960, I was making $1.75.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 50 cents more. This is a lot of money. But when you really
50 cents more, then you know what I mean.
Of course. Okay. But when you really come down to it, when you really, really, really come down to it, the decision that you made, you know, if this is my life, I'm going to make the best I can possibly make. And there are so many people today, you know, Jane, with the challenges they come up against, it was horrible what you had to go through. No question. But at the same time, look at the people that you're helping now. Look at the youngsters that may not have to go through this or get stopped before it does happen. So there's a reason and a purpose for it.
I'm doing so many good things now, I'm just busted with joy. Let me tell you, I get to talk to these gals over at the prison. I went to the women's prison and spoke a few weeks ago, and one of the girls came up and hugged me, and it was just, I don't know, it's just how to explain it, but it's just, I feel that maybe I've touched, if I could touch one woman out there, one girl, to not ever get into that life, I have done what I wanted to do.
No, absolutely.
You know, I'm a lot older woman now, and I have learned many lessons and many beatings, many abusive situations my life went through.
But you know what made it, well, I'm not saying it was okay, but what made it okay for so many people, you know, in the late 50s, the 60s, up until around the 70s, you know, the Dean Martins, the Jerry Lewis's, the Sinatras, the rest of them, the Rat Pack, etc. It was okay. Yeah. You know, the big parties in Vegas and everybody knew what they were doing, but they were the celebrities, so it was okay for them to do it. Not so, but...
But you see, when I was with Frank, the man was 32 years older than me. I am a year older than his daughter. I was born in 1941, and I believe she's born in 1942, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And his oldest daughter, Frank's. And you see, when you're sitting there next to a huge star, like the most wonderful singer in the world, as far as I'm concerned, wants to play house with you, and wants to bestow stacks of money on you, I mean, what are you going to do? Say, no, I'm in that life. I happen to be introduced to these people, and Jerry Lewis, and Harry James, and Arnold Palmer, and Sam Snead, and I just hobnobbed with all these huge, huge people, made so much money I couldn't get out of. That's another thing that's bad. You can't get out of it once you start making that kind of money. Where are you going to go to make that kind of money anywhere? You got to be a lawyer to make that kind of money, or a doctor.
Or somebody.
See, that's the bad part.
Yeah, but see, you could have gotten advice from me. I was born in 1942, which makes you a year older than me, but I still made 50 cents more than you did.
Yeah, you're younger than me?
Yeah, I am 1 year younger than 1 year younger than you are. I was born in 42.
Oh, and I was born in 41, and you made 50 cents more an hour than me. See how it was? See how it worked?
Sure. I mean, I could have advised you how to make more money at the time.
Yeah, see, if you had been me out there, you'd have made more money. I made an average of, Johnny used to say that I made an average of $500,000 a year back in 1960 through 1970, 72.
And by the way,
I left Vegas.
Go ahead.
When I have to say, when I was in Vegas, being with these men, that they would go home to their wives and children and their lovely church and act like nothing happened, but they had fun in Vegas. What they didn't tell their wives, you know, was what they had with me was wrong. I mean, if there's ever a victim, it's the prostitute. She's a victim. And the men that are bestowing all this money on these girls, these chicks, whatever, honey, you're ruining their life.
Yeah.
Keep your money in your pocket. Buy your kids some new toys, and don't give money to this girl, because she's being pimped by some guy that's beating the hell out of her. Plus, he's giving her drugs. You got to be on something. You can't just go out there and turn these tricks. 4 or 5 tricks a day for 7 days a week in Las Vegas, 24-hour town, and be normal.
No.
It's no way possible. I was on so many pills. I was a pill freak at the time. I mean, they didn't have, we did pot, but that was minor, I mean, compared to what they're doing today. And not only that, but the diseases were different then. I mean, my God, you had syphilis and gonorrhea. Today, you got AIDS, which will kill you.
Sure, and
I mean, it's
so
not a disease you're going to live through. You can die from AIDS.
Jane, no question. Now, we're starting to run out of time. Let me ask you this last question. I read this book. I pick this book up, and I read it page by page, cover to cover. What do I get? What's my takeaway? What do I get out of this book that I didn't have before I read it?
You're going to realize that the women in prostitution and in are abused. Because they're abused from the guy that they're supposedly in love with. They think they're in love with the guy that's beating them, that's usually very abusive to them. And they're being abused by the men that are buying them. And we need to change the laws, is what you're going to learn from my book, is that we should change the law and arrest the Johns and the pimps and help the girl. That's what you're going to learn from my book. That's what you'll see. You'll see the movies and all the shows and everybody else. All they do is pick up the prostitute. Oh, you're a prostitute, you're going to jail. Well, how about picking up the John that just gave her all that money and the pimp that sent her out there? How about that?
I'm in total agreement. Let me ask you this. Do you have a website where you can find you at and buy the book?
It's breakingmysilence.net. And you can get it on Amazon. You can get it. It's print on demand. You can get it at iUniverse and any bookstore. Walk in and they can order it, and you can get it delivered to you.
Wonderful. Hey, Jane McCormick, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, Thank you, darling. I'm trying to get the word out and message out to help these girls not get into that life I got into.
Wonderful. Okay, good night.
Good night. Bless your heart. Thank you.
Exciting and wonderful places, mountains and jungles and desert oases, pleasant as home is, it isn't what Rome is, so why stay there? When there are so many fabulous faraway places to see, why should Spain and Tahiti and Rio just be only names to you and me? I feel certain.